much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Here come the. Hey, yo, I lost audio. What happened?
What?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I want you to know this. I'm going to carry this with you for the rest of your days. No one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch and gets away with it. Don't say anything. Just keep that in you, okay?
But I've never seen Friday Night Lights. So for a person who's never seen Friday Night Lights, maybe give me a little brief synopsis.
You have to do better.
All decent folks can agree that the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
And now, about to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts. About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning.
Why no new music from the Rifle Burst and I'm the Best rapper? Why haven't we seen anything new from him in a while?
I don't know. That's a good question. We'll have to look into it.
That guy's one of the most intriguing and exciting new artists of 2012, and I'm disappointed at his slow pace.
And by that, you mean worst, and that's why we love him.
I love him. I think he's awesome. Hmm. I think he's the best, is what I think.
Hey, Bean, I missed my exit today by two exits. I drove two exits too far.
How?
I don't know.
Why?
I called Chip, because I don't have my key card, of course, because it's in my other car, which is being fixed. And I said, I'll be there in a minute. And then I started messing with my iPod. And then I looked up, and I was like, I don't recognize where I am right now.
Why am I in Santa Ana? What's going on?
So then I had to get off there, make a U-turn, get back on the freeway, and then take the right exit. And get back.
It's every day is a mystery with you.
I know.
Every day, is you just got to be... You just got to be open to all possibilities, because you don't know when you leave the house if you're ever coming home. You don't know where you're going to end up, what you're going to be wearing at the time, if you're going to remember any of it.
I would have to laugh or cry. Those are my options.
And so decide that it's just funny.
I know that's a cliche, but yes. Yes, I do. And yes, I do.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Well, I mean, you haven't been making the drive from this house to this building for very long, so it's understandable why you would miss
Thank you.
So. World's most dangerous driver, at least the state of California's most dangerous driver, apparently not paying attention behind the wheel again. Here's a story that is going to sound like you've heard it before, because we went through a phase a few years ago where it seemed like there was a lot of butt chugging in the news, but it's been quiet for a while, but butt chugging is back.
All right.
I think butt chugging is playing the slide bar this weekend, too. You ought to go see them. A great band. Anyway, butt chugging, which, if you don't know, by the way, is where you take a tube. It's an alcohol enema, basically, is what it is. You drink the fluid, the alcohol, into your rectum with a tube. And the effect of that is, of course, that it happens. You get drunk instantly, very quickly.
Right.
You should keep both you guys, Beer Mug and Kevin, you guys should both keep this in mind. If you're in a busy schedule, you don't have that much time. Why waste time drinking it and having it go through your stomach, right?
I feel like alcohol works fast enough. Like, I'm not in that much of a hurry.
Early on Saturday, 20-year-old Alexander P. Broughton of the Pi Kappa Alpha, the fraternity there, was brought to the emergency room. His blood alcohol level, by the way, it says was well over 0.4. Now, that's a lot, right? 0.4?
Yeah, I think the limit's 0.08, right? Or
0.08.
Yeah.
And this is 0.4, so this is by hundredths more. This, according to the Knoxville News Sentinel, he, of course, had been butt-chugging. He was said to be extremely intoxicated and showed signs of physical and possible sexual assault.
Wow.
Police went to the house. Officers found several young males passed out in their bedrooms with bags from wine boxes, some empty, some partially empty, strewn across the halls and rooms.
And then the cop said,
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Let's see here. Alcohol enemas can be dangerous. Too much alcohol. You could once alcohol enters the bloodstream, it cannot get back out. I guess you just have to... Wait it out? Is that what happens? It processes itself slowly? Is that what happens?
How does it get back out when you drink it? I guess throw up?
No, I mean, when it enters the bloodstream. Now, does regular alcohol, when you drink it, that also enters the bloodstream?
Yeah.
I think it's just time. I think time has to just sober you up. Yeah, I think it
filters.
You need
that extra
itself.
45 seconds for something?
I think it just filters its way out. But I guess as long as there are going to be fraternities and as long as there are going to be young people going to college,
sure.
There are
going
to be people who go, hey, like you said, getting drunk the regular way is not going to be good enough. I got to put it in my eye, or I got to put it in my nose, or I got to put it in my butt.
People are dumb.
Like Yeah, but if you've never heard of it before and it sounds like fun,
no,
you're probably going to try it.
Look, I have done my share of drinking, and when mm-hmm. you're drunk, everything sounds funny.
Right.
Granted. But then you show me the hose in the bag, and I go, no, I don't care how drunk I am. I don't need drunk poo.
Now, it doesn't say here.
Saw drunk poo last night, too. They were especially good.
It doesn't say here that this was a hazy or anything like that. I mean, there's nothing in this article that indicates that the guy was coerced into it or, you know, for all we know, he thought it was the best idea ever. He couldn't wait to try it. But you don't expect, you know, just a casual evening of butt chugging. You don't expect you're going to end up in the hospital very, very sick. But
sounds pretty outrageous.
I'm sure Muggs has done that.
Certainly. I'm sure he has. Sure he's doing it now. So all right, good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
Enough? Is that enough? Can I go now? All right. Anna Torv.
Yes.
She'll be on the program. The Star Fringe.
Why is she so awesome?
She's
by
so
the way.
Attractive. She's got that accent. Everything about her is good, including the show. So I can't wait to talk to her about that.
When's Fringe coming back, by the way?
I believe it is tomorrow night.
Wow.
I'm not positive. I hope so. Dr. Drew's going to be on the program today.
Fantastic.
We have a Paul Scheer on the program from NTSFSDSUV.
Obviously.
Which is a great show that's on Adult Swim. Let's see here. We have a brand new internet roundup for you.
Nice.
And we're going to take your calls on the last thought you had before you thought you were going to die. Right when you think you're going to die, but you don't. What was the last thought that went through your mind? Because sometimes it can be a good thought, and sometimes it can be a ridiculous thought. I thought I was going to die a few days ago, and I just wanted to know what song was on. I was listening to, so that I didn't find my body, and then listen to the song and go, he was listening to what? For some reason,
wait,
that was important.
Kevin died with a Wham! CD
right.
in his car? What happened?
Right. That you don't want that.
Right.
We're also going to talk to a double amputee, and I did a little research here, Bean.
Yeah.
A little research here. It's she's had her legs amputated just below the knee.
I don't like her.
Both.
I don't care for her at all.
And she is going to be on The Amazing Race
as a
contestant.
Oh, as a contestant.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump. Amputee.
I'm skeeved now. I don't like it.
There are a lot of shows where you don't have to run, get on planes, and carry backpacks.
And by the way, she's also a snowboarder
yeah.
and a skateboarder and a wakeboarder. I mean, she does it all.
She still does all of that, by the way.
Yes, she's not sitting at home going, oh, I don't have any legs. She's out there.
Yeah,
so she makes all of us look bad.
She's out there outperforming all of us.
Yes.
And so we don't like her because she's making us look
and
bad.
I think she's kind of hot, too, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Yeah.
Plus,
we have tickets for our breakfast with the Black Keys. And we're going to do that. For those of you that listen early, we're going to do that in about a half hour. So keep listening for that. We got the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
What needs humor? What needs humor?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
I am not getting building key card. Not half.
I am not drunk all the time, Ralph.
Well, then you explain it. If I was you, I'd go with the drunk story. It makes it a lot more sexy than just dumbassery.
Were you listening this morning about how Kevin essentially got lost on his way to work?
Of course.
Yeah.
I go to the exit pass where I go off road.
Everybody does that.
Do they?
Yeah. At some point, people miss their exit. They're not paying attention.
I agree with Kevin. Everybody does that. Not as consistently as you do.
You're drunk.
I'm just glad you were fiddling with your iPod. Instead of keeping your eye on the road.
I was doing both. I can multitask.
Obviously, you can multitask. That's why you ended up two exits off of where you needed to go.
This does not sound like showbiz to me.
That's where you got... It is. It's showbiz.
It's not showbiz.
It's showbiz. It shows that even radio personalities can have brain hemorrhages. Got off on Butthead Boulevard instead of your usual exit.
Nice job, dumbass.
I was in Compton at one point. I don't know why.
Oh, it's good news. JWoww is finally headed to the altar. We were all worried that she and Roger wouldn't get together. This is, of course, Jenny Farley from Jersey Shore. He proposed to her while they were skydiving.
Wow.
Apparently, she looked over to see a handwritten sign asking if she would marry him. She freaked out and screamed the entire time as she plummeted to earth and received a 5-carat diamond ring when they finally touched down on the ground.
Would have been awesome if he'd have put the ring on her while they were skydiving.
No, you wait, because if she doesn't survive the jump, then
something happens.
You save some money on that ring. You keep that ring. You're able to get your money back. I'm sure he had the receipt.
Oh, good thinking.
She becomes a farm pizza. You don't want to just suddenly have to go digging through the pink slush to get your ring back. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Okay.
While we're talking about marriages, Antonio Sabato Jr. is off the market, ladies. Sorry, didn't mean to break that news to you so harshly. His former beauty queen girlfriend, Cheryl Moana Marie, said I do, and they got married on the Hawaiian island of Kauai last Tuesday. Very romantic beach ceremony. They already have a 16-month-old son together named, wait for it, Antonio Kamakana Loa Maikalani Harvey Sabato III. So, congratulations.
That's not going to fit on any of the forms that kid has to fill out for the rest of his life.
Can you imagine having to do your taxes? And
yeah.
Antonio Kamakana Loa Maikalani Harvey Sabato III.
He's going to play in the NFL and insist on using that as his name.
He'll need three jerseys to go out there on the field. Tom Cruise, it is rumored by Star Magazine, could be ready to ditch Scientology.
No.
What?
Way.
That's what they're saying.
What?
Story reads, he's starting to hang out with folks that aren't part of the church, and he's distancing himself from the big-time believers and shakers in that religion.
Well, it has, it seems like, has contributed to, you know, the breakup of his last two marriages.
Well, that's what the story in Star, again, it's in Star magazine, so take it with a grain of salt. But they say after three broken marriages and his public perception at an all-time low, he is starting to think maybe the beliefs haven't served him well in his life, and he's starting to reevaluate. Now, that's all well and good, and it makes sense if it was a regular person looking at their life. But I can't see it. Tom Cruise is such,
I can't either.
Such a dyed-in-the-wool believer.
Yeah, he makes the Kool-Aid. He doesn't just drink it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is in every other area of his life, it seems like it's worked him, you know, worked perfectly for him in terms of his health and his positive attitude and his career. I mean,
yeah, but you don't know that all that wouldn't have been true if he wasn't.
You're right. We have no idea. And we have no idea to know whether his marriages would have broken up if he weren't a Scientologist either.
Yes, I mean, we do.
Speculating.
Well, there might be other problems.
Does seem to have considered. I think his personality, though, would have led him to be wherever he would have ended up.
Anyway. I agree.
I think he's got such a forceful, ambitious personality that he would have ended up being Tom Cruise regardless.
Yeah.
But we'll see. His buddy, Steven Spielberg's in the news today. I was surprised to hear this. He came out.
What?
As a dyslexic.
Oh.
He revealed to a filmmaker website called friendsofquinn.com that he was diagnosed with dyslexia 5 years ago. Can you imagine going through your whole life?
5 years ago?
And not knowing? And then realizing late in life that you were actually dyslexic. He said making movies was his great escape from struggling with his learning disability. I guess, look, if you're dealing in a purely visual media, you don't really need to.
But you have a script.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got people around you who.
Read this to me.
Yeah, set that all up for you.
It is always amazing. I mean, there are a lot of famous people who have dyslexia, you know, Henry Winkler and others. I think Tom Cruise was dyslexic, too. But
yes.
It is amazing to think about what you have to overcome.
15% of the population is dyslexic.
Wow.
Here's some more famous folks that suffered with a learning disability. Albert Einstein was dyslexic.
Dumbass. Hack.
They think Abraham Lincoln was dyslexic. Walt Disney, reportedly, dyslexic. And, of course, Cher. Which makes you wonder how she wrote all those novels and stuff that she did. Oh, wait a minute. She sang. If I could turn back now. And we've all heard about product placement in movies.
Yep.
Are you ready for the next stage?
Nope.
Movie placement in products.
What?
Target is launching their first ever shoppable movie, they're calling it. It is a romantic comedy short film called Falling for You. Here's the thing. Everything you see in the video is available for purchase at Target stores.
So it's really just a giant ad?
No, it's a movie that you use to go shopping with.
So it's really just a giant ad?
110 different items, clothing, home, and beauty items from the retailer's fall collection will be featured in the movie. It's got 3 5-minute episodes. It's been broken up into 5-minute episodes. October 2nd, 4th, and 9th, they'll be appearing on Target's website. Kristen Bell stars.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Kristen. Remember when she had a career before she started making movies for Target and her boyfriend?
So you watch it online, and then can you click on any item on the screen to be taken to a place to buy it?
Is my name Bill Target? Steve Target?
I don't think you're either of those.
No, I am neither of those fellows. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I'm just reading you the news story. That right, the movie is built around 110 items from Target, and then they wrote a film and laid it on top of it.
So it's really like an ad.
I'm not feeling so good. I'm going to go where Belisa is. I'm going to see her. Today's celebrity birthday is Avril Lavigne is 28 years old.
What's the verdict on her, Bill-wise? That's a no, right?
I'm a no on her. I think she's cute.
Have you ever seen the Hey Hey You You I Don't Like Your Girlfriend video?
Yeah.
She looks spectacular.
She does.
She can look very sexy.
Agreed. Does she most of the time?
I don't know what you want from me. I'm just telling you.
I'm saying I need
some direction here. I would be a soft no on her as well.
I'm telling you, there was a bodybuilder yesterday named Venus Williams who was getting all kinds of bells. That's all I'm saying.
Serena, first of all, way hotter than Venus.
Whatever. She's got shoulders like Michael Strahan. That's all I know.
All right, Bella hurt.
Lil Wayne is 30 years old today. Gwyneth Paltrow is 40 years old.
Nope.
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 Nip, nip, nip.
Nope.
Nip, 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 nip.
Hang on a second.
It goes back.
I need to.
I love when you go back in time.
All right.
Patrick Muldoon of Melrose Place is 44 years old today. Mark Calderon of Color Me Bad is 42. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 48. And Meatloaf.
Yeah!
Meatloaf!
Yay!
Meatloaf is 65 years old today. Oh, I would do anything for Loaf.
Oh, stop.
Wow.
But I won't do that.
Put it in the file.
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the Jehovah's Beat.
Filthy, dirty, disgusting.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
I haven't even recovered from how awesome Green Day was in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock here a few days ago. That just blew my mind.
It was incredible.
What a show. The Black Keys will have a lot to live up for.
We're just going to move on.
It's going to be a week from tomorrow. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. And you can be in the audience with us to not only hear the band perform live, but help us ask the questions. 1-800-520-1067. We're playing a game right now called Mumford the Hits.
Hey, my friend, if you can guess this song I'm singing, you will win the tickets. It won't be very easy, but if you can guess it, you will win the tickets. Guess the song I'm singing if you can, and then we'll give you some more tickets.
All right, I think we got it.
Tickets.
Mumford, thank you so much for
stopping by. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It's so nice to be right here.
That's fine.
I really like being on your show and doing this contest.
Okay, that's great.
And doing this contest.
Here's the way the game is played is you're going to be singing Black Keys lyrics. You're going to be Mumfording the hits. All the listener on the phone has to do is tell us what Black Keys title you're doing, and then they go into the drawing to win the tickets to be with us a week from Friday. You ready to? I'm not going to ask if you're ready.
We don't have that kind of time.
Let's go to line one, shall we? Let's get Melanie on the air with us and see if she wants to Mumford the hits with us. Hi, Mel.
Hi.
You ready to Mumford the hits?
I am.
Good luck. Your came up?
Sick for days in so many ways. I'm aching now. It's times like these I need relief. Please show me how. Oh, show me how.
All right, Melanie. Black Keys song title.
Sure sounds different when Mumford does it.
Yeah, it does.
Title of the song. Any song. By the Black Keys, maybe. Just guess a song.
If you don't know, you might guess.
Just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, though.
I'm going to say...
Some words had better come out of your mouth right now, or I'm coming over there.
Right. You're going to say what?
Oh.
Too late.
Six, 4 days, so many ways.
It sounds... See? Very different.
We're looking for tighten up was the answer that time. But thank you for playing, Melanie. Let's try Lorena on line two. Lorena is up next to Mumford the Hits.
Hey, Lorena.
Hi, good morning.
Here's Mumford.
Down in the waves, she screams again. Roar at the door. My man can't take, but my mind can't take much more. I could never drown in.
Those lyrics don't rhyme at all.
Oh my
what
God.
Are they doing?
If it helps you at all, Lorena, it's a very popular Black Keys song that you've heard many, many times on K-Rock.
Strange Days.
Very sorry.
That's Gold on the Ceiling is what that one's called. But thanks for playing. So far, we're 0 for 2. Maybe Steve is going to turn us around. Remember, the problem is the chicks. You ever think about that? Maybe it's the chicks.
The girls always.
They're usually better at lyrics.
They always do better at these games.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Steve.
What's up, man?
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Mumford the Hits.
Mockingbird, can't you see? Little girl's got a hold on me. Like glue, baby, I'm howling for you.
Wait, you put this name of the song in it. Why does that happen?
Wow.
He said the name of the song in it, Steve.
I'm calling for you, man.
Yes, all right, good.
Mockingbird, can't you see?
I didn't think he was going to. I don't prepare the lyrics.
I know. Who did? They need to be fired.
Oh, it's not my fault.
All right, let's try Lucy. Maybe just one more here to try to get another contestant eligible, at least, for the Breakfast with the Black Keys. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
She said hi to herself. I like that.
Hi, Kevin and Bean and Ralph.
All right.
Hi, Kevin and Bean and Ralph.
Hey, Ralph's not here. That's Mumford.
That's right. Right. I am Mumford.
Although you've talked in the Ralph voice seven times.
I was here.
I'm all sitting right. next to Mumford.
Oh,
I didn't know you were here, too.
I am. I'm helping him along.
I see. All right.
One more. Here we go. Let's Mumford the Hits.
Well, I'm so above you, and it's plain to see. But I came to love you anyway, so you pulled my heart out, and I don't mind bleeding.
All right.
Black
Keys song title.
Very popular.
Title of a song.
But
heard
I
thousands
came to love
of
you
times.
Anyway.
Name of it.
We were looking for Lonely Boy this time.
Well, I'm so above you.
Sorry. All right. Is it going to be Steve? Or Steve, who's going to win his way into Breakfast with the Black Keys on Friday, a week from tomorrow?
Let's do the drawing, and it's Steve.
Yeah!
The only guy that got it, and that's because the song title was in the clue.
Yeah.
Nice work, King of Mexico. Thanks for playing the game.
Congratulations, now you won the contest, and then you have got those tickets. You knew what songs I was singing, and you were getting it got those tickets.
KROQ.
No thinking.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just stupid.
K-Rock.
Also on Sunday night, also on CBS, 60 Minutes. They sit down and talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger about his new autobiography that is hitting stores on Monday, which looks like a fascinating read. Look, say what you will about the former governor. What an unbelievable life this dude's had.
Total Recall, My Unbelievably True Life Story is the name of the book. Have you seen the commercial? There's a commercial for the book. Have you seen it?
Here's like a movie trailer, right?
Yeah, here's the audio, and it's basically just Arnold Schwarzenegger talking.
If my life was a movie, no one would believe it. The directions I've chosen, the careers I have conquered. I started out as a bodybuilder from Austria and became the strongest and most muscular man in the world. Can you imagine the feeling I have 6 times Mr. Olympia? But I had bigger dreams. I wanted to be in movies. I came to Hollywood, and within a decade, I was one of the biggest action stars of all time.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Then I took the greatest gamble of my life. I went into politics, became governor of one of the largest economies in the world. I went from being the Terminator to being the Governator. But this story, you know. So are you ready for this story? You don't.
Oh!
It sounds compelling to me, although I can't believe he's still trying out the Governator line. Let's find out what Arnold Schwarzenegger is up to this morning as he joins us once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Governor.
1 second, let me just finish up my preacher curls.
Okay.
You all right?
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm done with the morning workout now.
Okay.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good.
Well, we're fine. Congratulations on the book. It looks like it's going to be a big, big bestseller.
Yeah, Total Recall, my unbelievably true life story. It's available everywhere October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Arnold, do you have to put the titles of your movies in everything you do? I mean,
that's hard, eh?
But maybe it was funny the first time.
Yeah,
but
it's still funny every time, I think. Yeah. Right now, by the way, I'm in the gym.
Yeah.
And I'm going commando.
Okay, that's fine. That's a movie that you were in 30 years ago. Got it. Listen, even though you've had an amazing story with the bodybuilding and all the, you know, Mr. Universe titles and the success in politics, everybody's really most fascinated with the chapter is how Maria Shriver, your wife, found out about the affair that you had with your housekeeper. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Maria said she wanted to go to counseling. And I thought it was for her to make the transition from public life with being the governor's wife to a more private life at the end of my term.
Right.
And then we get to the counseling session. She says, Maria wants to talk about whether you fathered a child with your housekeeper or not.
You were ambushed.
I was. It was like Predator us in the jungle. And then the Predator with the giant jaw came out of the woods and came after me like an alien Predator. So I did what anybody would do. I killed her.
You did not.
Well, you didn't kill her because she's still alive.
Well, not actually, but, you know, with my eyes.
Okay.
Were you...
stink eye.
Were you tempted to lie and try to cover it up?
Oh, let me see. I had been lying for 15 years about it, but no, now I wanted to tell the truth. Of course I was tempted to lie and cover it up, but I knew it was too late. It was undeniable. When you looked at this kid, he looked just like me.
Yeah, he really, there's no question in the world. You can pick him out of a lineup of 1,000 kids that he's yours. You're right about that.
I have such huge, strong genes that they just crush the other genes in a way and they break them.
Right.
And then they just kill them and they mash them to little bits and pieces and then they come to the forefront and they're the strongest, most muscular genes in the world.
What's he talking about, Kevin? You have any idea?
I think he's trying to explain sex.
Arnold, here's a question I haven't heard anyone ask you that we all were thinking at the time. Why did you have sex with a woman who is so unattractive? You were the freaking governor of California. Could you have had sex with anybody?
She was in the building at the time.
She was in the building.
Oh, I see. It's an opportunity.
Maria was out of town, and I was filming Batman and Robin in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So you weren't the governor yet. You were just a big, big movie star, but you certainly had your pick of beautiful, attractive young women.
But they weren't there in the room at the
same
time.
They weren't there in the room. Yeah.
I needed to have sex immediately.
Batman and Robin was late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I was feeling, you know, I was Mr. Freeze at the time.
Right.
So it was important to dip my icicle.
Right. Are there any stories you tell in the book that we haven't heard anything about that are going to be a surprise to readers?
In Total Recall, my unbelievably true life story?
Yes. Yes, that's the book we're discussing.
Is that the book you're speaking
well,
of?
Well, it's the same
Total
one.
Total Recall, my unbelievably true life story on October 1st in stores everywhere?
Yeah. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Also, not a lot of people noticed, but I was actually the original voice of Mickey Mouse in the cartoon.
Well, that's just dumb.
That's not even possible.
Mickey Mouse was possible.
Mickey Mouse was around before you were born.
Yeah, but what if I traveled through time and I showed up at Walt Disney's office and I said, give me your mouse if you want to live.
Let me hear your Mickey Mouse voice.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mr. Mouse.
Okay.
Hello, Donald. Hello. Hello, Goofy, Pluto. How are you?
I don't think it was you. I'm pretty sure.
Well, it is the unbelievable true life story.
It's unbelievable, all right.
It's messing with my head. So hard. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
First, it's time for a brand new internet roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can click and see all of these videos. There are a lot of good ones today. One is Honest Trailers. I don't know if you've seen Honest Trailers before.
They're the best.
But they take the movie and they tell you the truth about what's going on in the movie. And this particular one is with the Avengers.
Suit up with Iron Man, everyone's favorite secondary Marvel character who must redeem himself from the god-awful Iron Man 2. Captain America, no one's favorite character who just kinda has to be there. And the Incredible Hulk.
who, for the sake of the plot, can now suddenly control his rage.
I'm always angry.
Without any explanation.
Oh, that's pretty true, isn't it?
They do an awesome job. They can make the best movie in the world, which The Avengers just might be, by the way, and just make it sound crappy.
This next one, you're going to have to judge for yourself. Bean is calling BS on this one, I think.
Yes, I am. And the reason I'm calling BS on it is because this is a woman who supposedly is just captured by this guy on a cell phone or something like that who walks up to one of these karaoke machines in a mall. She's at a Target store or something like that, a Best Buy in a mall or something like that. But there's tons of her videos up. So it's not like it's a one-time thing. It almost seems like they've decided this is the way to get her videos out there is to make it look like it's random.
Right, but maybe she's just a great singer and they think, hey, let's go to a public place and I can videotape.
Yes, and watch people gather around as they're amazed by this young woman who looks, I mean, she looks like she's 18 or something, right? She's real young, got an incredible voice, but a crowd gathers every time she sings.
Seriously, that's absurd.
Yeah, she's real good.
Why doesn't she go on any of the 500 singing shows that are on TV right now?
Yeah, there are other ways to get your message out there rather than singing in a mall.
Here's one. A U.S. soldier survives Taliban machine gun firefight. And it's pretty real. You can see he's got a camera on his helmet, and you can pretty much see what he's looking at. You can see him shooting his gun. It's bizarre. It's part of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Somebody lay down some fire! Hey, I'm moving down! I'm hit!
I will tell you, it's funny, but it's not funny. I mean, it's not funny that an American got hit by a bullet, let's be honest.
He was fine, by the way. He ended up coming home with no permanent injury.
But he shouted, I'm hit.
Yeah.
At the end of that video, 20 times with no response.
Yes, yes.
I was like, wait a minute, I've seen movies, where is the cavalry? Where do the people work?
Where's the backup?
Where's the medic? No one paying any attention. They don't shout anything back to him, nothing. He just keeps saying, I'm hit.
I'll tell you what's weird about this video, and if no other reason, go to the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com to see this particular one, because we're so used to getting closer to the action in wartime than ever before. Ever since they started embedding troops a few years ago, now we can really see the battlefield. But this is the first time I think I've ever seen one like this, where he's got one of those, you know, those video cameras on his helmet, where you're seeing it live as it happens from his vantage point. I mean, it's like being a first-person shooter video game, except it's real. It's disorienting.
And I couldn't see where the enemy was either. Could you?
It looked to me like he was just wasting bullets. I just, every time he fired that gun, I thought, well, there's more of my tax dollars.
But at least he got help when he said,
I'm hit!
No, he did not for quite some time. Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard.
And I know that we interviewed him once. I don't know who he is.
Mr. Wizard, if I recall from what Ralph told us, was a syndicated television host who basically had a science show. He had a show where he had little kids come in and he would teach them about scientific experiences. But this is a supercut video of how condescending and what a dick he is to all of those little kids as he tried to teach them along the way.
Well, while you were sort of having fun with him. Yes, I know you're ready. Just be quiet for a minute. Try not to cut my finger, please. Try not to get it in the tree. You know, you can do this at home yourself. You don't need to come over to my house to do it. What's all the fuss about? Who cares about those cubs?
In view of your miscount, do you mind if I do the acid?
I love him because he's just a cranky old man.
He's a tool, isn't he?
He hates what he's doing. He hates the kids.
Yeah, he sure does.
This is Sarah Silverman, comedian who we love, with Let My People Vote 2012. She's afraid that the laws of having to get identification to vote are going to keep people from voting, and she's got an answer.
My veteran photo ID card?
Is your address on it?
No.
Oh, then no.
I lost my legs for this country.
Look, if you want fair, move to Canada, hippie.
I have a purple heart.
Big deal. I have a yellow discharge.
Okay, so that happens.
I mean, Sarah.
All right.
It's right. I have a cream for it.
Right. Apparently, student IDs are not okay.
That's right.
IDs that don't have pictures on them, not okay.
Yes. So they're talking about, well, look,
it's become a political debate, but basically some people are trying to tighten up the voting identification that is needed because they think there's a lot of voter fraud going on. Other people are saying, no, no, the only reason you're doing that is because that means lots of people who aren't going to vote the way we want them to aren't going to be able to vote. That's basically what's
happening. But if you join the NRA, that ID works. So she's saying everybody needs to get a gun, which I'm not sure is the answer. Here's how celebrities rocked the vote.
There are three things that make me proud to be an American. Voting, our proud tradition of freedom and hard work, and Ryan Gosling. Even though he's Canadian, I don't care.
I vote because I'm not a mother communist.
I'm voting because everyone at the polling place is legal. Seriously, I can anyone there.
I vote because it's all of our civic duty to help choose the people who will lead this country into the future. Also, I love hitting on the little old chicks who check you in. No teeth.
Oh, and that's Neil Patrick Harris singing that too, by the way, which is extra creepy.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com. The last one I'm going to play for you is the history of TV theme songs. This is Jimmy Fallon, and he had the cast of Guys with Kids on.
Which is a show that he helped create and produces. I think it's a new show on, I want to say, ABC. But doesn't Fallon do a great job, like his history of rap videos and stuff like that? He's really, really talented when it comes to these medleys.
What's that, Dave? What'd you say?
NBC.
NBC. All right. History of TV theme songs, Jimmy Fallon and the cast of Guys with Kids.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
It's pretty so good. It's pretty good. It's fascinating to watch. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Go to kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, I'm going to play you some music just to make you forget all your troubles.
K-Rock. Yo, Kevin, you mentioned that you saw a little bit of the Honey Boo Boo Child on the TV last night.
Oh, magic.
They sure love banjos on that show, don't they? They sure like to play up the fact that this little family is living in a tiny town in Georgia outside Macon of about 700 people.
They don't really have to play it up much.
Well, it's time for another exciting edition of What's Going On with Honey Boo Boo here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a very hot summer in much of the country, as certainly as we know around Southern California. And no more so than in Georgia, where they're just sitting around just trying to figure out ways to beat the heat in the family.
What are you doing over there, lazy?
Sleeping.
It's been very, very hot here lately. It's been like 108 to 112 degrees for the last couple weeks.
What are we going to do while it's hot? Stay inside and dig our boogers.
Watch TV and eat all day.
So that's what they're doing, Kevin, is they're staying inside, they're digging their boogers, and they're watch TV and they're eating.
If you don't mind, stay inside and picking boogers was mom?
No, that was the kids. That was the kids responding to what they were planning on doing to beat the heat. That's how they're spending their summers, picking those boogers and watching TV and eating.
This TV really is family really is a cartoon family.
They are. They don't seem real.
No.
I grant you that. However, there is some fantastic news as poor Sugar Bear comes up with something that's going to make the whole family happy. He comes home with a kit to build a little above-ground pool. And you can imagine how happy that makes everybody as hot as it is.
Come on, girls. I got y'all something to cool off with for the summer.
How much could you take Honey Boo Boo yelling in your house?
She sure was happy with the pool.
She's excited.
The 4th of July week, I took some time off to relax before schools and pageants start up again. I decided to get the girls a pool, and more they're cooled off, the less they're nagging me.
Now, by the way, if there's one hero that has emerged from the whole Honey Boo Boo family.
Oh, I don't know.
It's got to be Sugar Bear.
I don't know. Hero or idiot?
No, salt of the earth. This guy loves this family so much. He spends all of his time trying to figure out how to make them happy, and he gets nothing but abuse. I mean, he is in a he's in a household with five women who do nothing but pick on him all the time. And here, listen to how critical June is about how long it's taken him to put the pool together that he just went out and bought so they could all cool off.
Sure, I'm putting nothing together. The first time here, put something together and last.
By the way, I know that it's very difficult to understand what June says, and that's why this show, for real, is subtitled. She is speaking speaking English. And again, to translate, she's saying Sugar Bear doesn't have much luck putting anything together. It's been a long time since he's been successful at putting anything together.
Sugar Bear ain't put nothing together. Like the first time he ever put something together in the last 10 years.
In the last 50 years.
I'm serious. Sugar Bear does not like putting together.
If he had to build a barn, he'd kill himself.
Right. So they're just doing nothing but making fun of the poor guy.
Oh, the guy who's outside.
Yes, in 115 degrees, basically, who's trying to put this pool together for them. And they do nothing but yell at him from the sidelines.
You know you got to build something so I'll be able to get in it. I know that. I'm just going to pick you up and throw you in.
Get in the bag!
What?
Hurry up! I want to get in the pool and pull out!
Hey, I don't want to go so fast, Lon.
There's Honey Boo Boo in her swimsuit waiting outside to jump in the pool while the poor man's trying to put it together.
My putting together skills ain't that good. And remember, you got to sit inside of that thing and pull it out.
Mama, okay, we got to do
bottom piece.
June again complaining about how hot it is.
Being voluptuous, the heat in me don't mix with my body. It never has. It don't mess with my digestive system very well. That's why I don't eat.
Yeah, that's why she doesn't
eat. She doesn't eat. She's 300 pounds.
She's 300 pounds. Being voluptuous, by the way, the heat and her don't mix very well, Kevin. That's
Did
what
she
it is.
Say She's voluptuous? Just,
yes, being voluptuous. Right. Well, they finally get the pool together and everybody's happy and they have a good swim and a good time. And then they decide they're going to go out to a local ribs place to get something to eat.
I want the barbecue. Then I want the chicken.
Okay.
And then I want the ribs.
That's three.
I know. I got two sides. Why can't my sides be meat?
You understand what's happening
Why
here.
Why can't my sides be meat?
She wants the chicken, but then her two sides that come, you know, you're supposed to get like potato salad or coleslaw or something like that. She's getting meat there too. Because she's looking around at her family and going, I'm not nearly as fat as everybody else in this family. What can I do?
Because it's not how it works.
My family just loves to eat.
She wants the three combo.
Okay.
And the ribs. With the barbecue, chicken.
And potato salad and baked beans.
I don't think she's going to eat all this.
But I want it.
But she wants. Her eyes are bigger than her mouth, I think.
We're fat.
We're fat.
We're not fat. We're pleasingly plump.
It's pleasingly.
So poor Sugar Bear is just trying to make the family. We're not fat. We're just pleasingly plump. And then they're screaming at him for not saying pleasantly plump, which is what they think it should be instead. The poor man. And meanwhile, by the way, and this is what really drives me crazy. Sugar Bear loves June. They've been together 8 years.
And June is a hideous, just monster.
He wants to marry her, Kevin, and she will not. And Chubbs, the 15-year-old daughter, wants to know why June won't marry this nice man.
All right, Mama, I got a question.
What?
Why are you so scared to get married, Sugar?
Why am I so scared?
She's scared.
It's
been 8 years.
Girls, you know, in a way, kind of wish that I would marry Sugar Bear, but that's not going
to
happen.
I said you're scared because you might not be able to fit in the wedding dress.
See, so Chubbs is suggesting that Mom's scared because she doesn't think she's going to fit in the wedding dress.
Oh.
And that's why she won't get married.
That night dress is bigger than me.
I don't know what it would take Mama to say yes to marriage. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Her to get struck by lightning.
Probably.
Solana isn't my only real daughter, but I consider all the girls my daughters. The girls look at me as a father figure to them.
My kids, to me, are my main priority. Relationships come and go, but my kids will always be forever. Family's always first, period.
Wait, you've had a man who has stuck around with you and your family for 8 years.
Wait, Sugar Bear is only the dad of one?
Yes, Honey Boo Boo is Sugar Bear's daughter. The rest of them are all by all different fathers. Three other kids and three other fathers.
Yeah, no wonder she doesn't want to get married. She just likes to play around.
But doesn't it seem like Sugar Bear is the best she's ever going to do?
Of course.
Even though he never takes his chewing tobacco out of his mouth, doesn't it seem like that's as good as June's going to do?
Sure, but she doesn't see that.
And here's the best part of the whole show as we go through Honey Boo Boo Child here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They decide after they've gone to the pool, made the pool, then swam, and then they went out and eat, then they're going to go out and they're really going to have some fun. And they jump on their ATVs and they decide they're going to head out and do some shopping. Where?
We just got done eating, and so we all decided to jump on our four-wheelers and head down to the local department store. We heard there was a good sale going on, and hey, who can't beat a good deal?
All right, the local department store is not what you think it is, guys.
The local department store of Wilkinson County. Everybody here calls it the local department store. It's actually the Wilkinson County dump.
It's what? You catch that?
No.
It's the Wilkinson County dump. They go down to the dump and start pulling stuff out of the dumpsters.
They don't.
That has been thrown away, and they do this regularly.
Nope.
The whole house is filled with stuff that they pulled out of the dump.
No.
I'm not kidding.
You will see people out there fishing in it.
Baby man.
Well, that'd be great for Kevin.
We got a surround sound that somebody had threw away. The only thing that was not working was one speaker.
They should have a Dumpster Diva pageant because I will win.
You would definitely win the Dumpster Diva pageant. And one more final clip that shows you how much they love the Wilkinson County Dump.
Don't tell nobody, but all pumpkins' clothes come from the dumpster.
All right, let's load up.
Pumpkin's going to be very happy to hear that everything she wears came from the dump. So that's another exciting afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, the life of Honey Boo Boo. Very nice.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Rated R for Pirates. The world
famous. Just got awfully sexy up in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the great Paul Scheer has joined us here.
Thank you so much.
Wait, did it just get sexy up in here?
It certainly did. Of course, from the league and NTSFSDSUV. How are you, my friend? Good to see you.
I'm very good. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, we like having you, even though I guess we didn't realize till you walked in with the dumb hat that you're a Jets fan, but that doesn't mean we're going to automatically throw you out. We're still going to give you time.
Look, it takes a lot for a team to almost win against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, the powerhouse that is the Dolphins. Tough to beat them.
Yeah, they make every game exciting. I'm holding on to the fact that they were good about 2 years ago, and maybe they'll come back around again. We'll see.
5 years.
Hey, look, I should have picked the Giants. I'm a New York guy, but I picked the Jets. It's a sad, sad.
Yeah, you went the wrong way. Yeah. But what are you going to do? Look, there are a lot worse things to be than a Jets fan in professional sports. I mean, there are people who have droughts that last decades. If you're having a couple of down years for the Jets, you got nothing to complain about. Let's face it.
Are you Yankees or Mets?
I'm a Yankees fan, but I was a Yankees fan when the Yankees were like the Jets.
Okay.
So I was there when Dave Winfield and Don Mattingly. That's where my Yankees were.
From a Southern California stance, that makes you bad. But I wanted
course,
to know which
of
one.
Of course. No, okay. Yeah. Right. I have all the worst teams. and I embrace them. I'm also a huge Knicks fan. And
wow. That's been a rough go.
I just like watching teams lose. That's pretty much that's my sweet spot right there.
Now, are you allowed to swap teams since you have a New Jersey football team? Could you swap and be a Nets fan now?
You know, I would like to be a Nets fan.
Because it seems like it'd be an awesome time to jump on board with the Nets with they're getting ready to change everything.
I feel like the Nets, that's maybe the place I should go to because the Knicks aren't doing too much for me. I can go over to the Nets.
Even with Carmelo Anthony, he's still not.
Yeah, the Knicks are always on the verge of being like amazing and then nothing.
And then never.
Jeremy Lin was exciting for like 3 games and then we're back. And then they lose him. They lose him. Nothing.
And then the other thing, though, is being a Nets fan is that soon you'll be hanging with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Well, that's where you got to go.
You're a celebrity. Right?
I know. Well, that's it. I got to go hang out in Brooklyn. It'd be fun. That'd be great.
Can't believe your Nets hat. That's pretty cool. Let's start it right now.
I know. I just got it. Right. I just got it from Lids. There you go. I just basically have a bunch of hats in front of me, just putting them on. I actually feel like I'm not cool enough to wear the new Nets logo. I feel like you have to look cooler to wear.
Yeah, it's too stylish.
Yeah, it's too stylish.
Yeah, I've seen those crazy cheerleader outfits, too. They look like superheroes or something. It's weird.
Jay-Z knows how to run a basketball team.
He does. Yeah, he does.
All right, this has been Sports with Paul Scheer on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We talk about all the styles and all the losing teams. Who cares about who's winning?
You're still making TV, but in just bite-sized nuggets, basically, is how you like to do it.
Yeah, 11 minutes or less.
How can a show possibly come along that's shorter than Children's Hospital, which is 13 to 14 minutes long?
We are the same length as Children, which is 11 minutes and 20 seconds.
Is that right?
Yes, in a 15-minute slot. But this show I'm doing, NTSFSDSUV, which stands for National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego Sport Utility Vehicle, makes fun of all those dumb CBS shows CSI. CSI Miami, NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles.
Right.
We do, I think, more plot than most of those shows do in a full hour in 15 minutes.
You do, in 11 minutes. And why does your boss have an eye patch? What's up with that?
Kate Mulgrew from Star Trek Voyager. She was Captain Janeway. I just thought it would be awesome to have a woman with an eye patch who smokes a pipe. And we were like, no one will ever do that. And we sent over the script to Kate Mulgrew, and she's like, I'll wear that eye patch 100%. And we're like, great. Will you smoke the pipe? She's like, I'll smoke the pipe too.
That's like one of those ideas that you come up with. You go, it would be great if, and then nothing ever comes of it.
And she actually did it. Kate Mulgrew, the coolest woman in the world. We've had her having illicit sex, having her own podcast. Yeah, she does anything that we want, and she's amazing. amazingly funny.
That's what I love about your show and Children's Hospital that I know that you are an occasional star on as well. But that's what I love about their shows is literally nothing is off limits in terms of the changing the format of. I mean, every week can be completely different. You can make up whole new scenarios. It doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah, we do a whole episode coming up in this season where we do a Paranormal Activity episode where it's all shot by like flip cams and it's like a horror movie. Like, we can do whatever we want.
Exactly, yeah.
And we get really cool people to come on and do it. Because, look, we're not giving them a whole bunch of money. So if they're coming, they're going to want to be there. You know?
The stars that you get are amazing.
Yeah, we got some great people this season. Yeah.
Alison Brie on an episode last year, by the way, the wedding episode.
Oh, my
God. Could she have been hotter on that show, first of all? And could she be better? I love her so much.
She's amazing. And
I just wonder if you're just calling up chicks you want to meet, and that's why that's how they get guest stars. Because you have a lot of hot chicks on the show.
I have a lot of beautiful women on the show. One, Stacey Keibler from the WWE.
Sure.
you know, it's fun because, well, I'm married, and I'm on the show. My wife is on the show. So I have hot chicks on the show, but my wife is there to watch over me. So
you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it all wrong.
What a downer,
Paul. We need
Paul.
To take a break. We're going to explain things. We're going to explain things here during the commercials and the song. And
guys,
we'll be
like the Jets and I'm married. What else? What else can I tell you?
Cartoon Network Adult Swim Thursdays at 12:15 to about 12:26.
Yeah, exactly.
You can watch NTSB, USB, SD, SLV.
All you need to do is put in the consonants and TiVo will do the rest.
That's correct.
These kinds of guys don't change.
Kevin and Bean.
You think they ever suddenly wake up and realize the error of their ways and clean up their act? No. They just keep ruining everyone's lives, and the world is better off without them.
K-Rock.
How many ridiculous wigs have you worn on NTSF?
Well, I have one staple wig on NTSF. Oh, I guess, and then this season I wore a nice blonde wig as well. So, I'm a fan of the wig. Mm-hmm. You know, as a bald man, I wear a lot of different wigs. There's no hairstyling, so
you look ridiculous with hair, Paul. You were born bald, and you were also born to be bald because
that's
you look crazy dumb with hair. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate
that's
it. I'll take it.
That bald is working for you.
Thank
is what
you.
I'm saying.
I will take that compliment. When I used to do Human Giant on MTV, there was like a rule at first. Like, they didn't want people to know that Rob Hubel was older, and they didn't want me to. They want people to know that I was bald. So I was wearing baseball caps and wigs for the majority of that show. If you watch a Human Giant show, I'm pretty much in baseball caps and wigs.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the league because you've got that coming right around the corner. That premieres on Thursday night, October 11th. That's going to be on FX. What are we, season four?
And this
crazy
season is great. I mean, we're in the middle of taping right now as we speak, and we got some great people on it. RG3 came and did the show, which
was crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's he like?
The nicest guy you would ever meet. And, like, he's one of those guys who has it all.
Yeah.
He's, like, a good-looking guy. He's amazingly athletic. And then talking to him, he's super smart. It's like, yeah, he's going to play professional football. He'll be probably a Hall of Fame player. And then he'll get into his real job, which is, like, creating a business, which is, like, video game design.
And then brain surgery.
Yeah, and then he'll go off to do that. He's just, like, a multiple career guy.
So now that you know a guy like that, are you rooting for the Redskins? I mean, do you
he has a Jets hat on.
I got a Jets hat on.
I know, but I'm saying now you've got friends, though. You've got friends playing football. What do you do with that?
I have to say,
you want him to do well, right?
It makes the Redskins more interesting to watch. I don't think I've ever been a Redskins fan, so I'm definitely into that. As much as I'm into the Ravens now, too, because a bunch of Ravens have done the show. Like, Terrell Suggs, I love watching him. I hung out with him a few times, and he's hilarious.
How long did it take for you to start getting the real NFL players? I mean, this is the fourth season, right?
Yeah. We've been able to sneak them in. Like, in the beginning, people didn't really know what the show was. And now they kind of get what the show is, and they're coming on. And they know the show, and they're excited by the show.
When I heard about the show and I first watched the first episode, I thought, how is it possible to parody these people? Because these people are crazy to begin
Paul
with.
Paul being one of them, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the
I know.
Real fantasy players.
Oh,
I'm
I know.
In two leagues, and it takes up way too much of my time. I'm like up until 2 a.m, like looking at like injury reports.
But you can admit that that's dorky.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, good.
Look, fantasy football is like legitimized Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, that's totally all it is. It's the same concept. You're playing with fictional people. Like, I enjoy fantasy football, but it's like when people go like, I'm good at fantasy football. It's like, oh, you really? You're good at guessing? Like, there's nothing about, you know. And also people like go like, oh, let me ask you my fantasy football questions. Like, listen to people ask you about fantasy football is like hearing people describe their dreams to you.
Yes,
it's
that's
only
right.
interesting to you. That's the person who I have amazing things going on my team, but you don't care. No one cares.
No, it's the equivalent of wait till I tell you what my dog did this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Can you win any money in your league? Any significant money? Or are you basically playing for pride with your other dork friends?
We got pride. Pride is on the table. Pride and an ornate, disgusting looking trophy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's all we got there. And it's a matter of who can post the most obscene pictures as their team picture. That's always
sure.
There. Yeah,
I like it.
And is it like the Stanley Cup where you get your name etched into it and then it moves on?
Oh, it moves on. You get to keep it until you lose it.
I was just joking. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're full on. We're full on.
Well, it sounds like you're very busy with two shows on the air and all your fantasy league stuff that you've got to do in your personal life. It sounds like you got a lot going on.
Hey, look, I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time on that waiver wire I got to be spending.
Sure. And by the way, Parada 3DD came out since the last time we had you on, and we want to congratulate you on that. It was awesome. So they better keep on making those. That can't be the end.
I really like the first one a lot. The second one is insane, and we'll see. You know, I got a chance to work with Ving Rhames, who, when I was on the set of that Piranha 3DD, our characters never met in the first one, but in this one we were best buddies. I don't understand why, but Ving taught me how to spot butt implants. That was pretty much
our
day.
Is that right? For real?
Yeah, he would be like, see that girl over there? She got a butt implant. And I was like, really? And I go, they look like dimples. And he goes, butt implant. And I was like, all right. So that was.
So then every girl that came by, you were judging them, trying to guess? Are you good at it now?
I guess. I mean, I think that Ving Rhames just thinks that butt implants are injected through dimples, but I don't know. The ratio at which he thought they were butt implants makes me believe that every woman has them. So I don't
suspect
know if that's
after
true.
A while. Exactly. Well, you are living the dream, my friend. It sounds like you have a fun life, and it's always great to catch up with you.
Well, thanks for having me in.
SDSUV airs Thursday nights at 12:15 on Adult Swim, and then of course October the 11th on FX is when The League premieres season 4. Thanks again, Paul. Always great to see you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, man.
Kevin and Bean.
Scrawny ass sissies.
On K-Rock.
All right, we're talking about the last thought that went through your mind before you died. You didn't die, but you thought you were gonna. And what was the last thought that went through your mind? Now, if it's normal, we don't want your calls. If it's, I wish I had a good life, I'm thinking of my kids. If it's a little weird, a little strange, maybe it surprised you a little bit that that's the thought that came to your mind when you thought you were going to die.
I'm fascinated with this topic because it's completely out of your control, right?
Right.
If it's an instance like the one that you're about to describe where you were almost in a head-on auto collision this week and you had seconds to think about it, it's not like you were in 127 hours and you had, you know, a day to decide, you know,
think about stuff before I cut off my arm.
Exactly right. It was involuntary. Whatever pops into your head is out of your control. And that's why this is so fascinating because, you know, you have seconds left, you think. What comes into your mind and why? I don't think there's any way to predict what it's going to be.
For me, I got in an accident earlier this week where if I didn't run headlong into a curb that was not parallel with me, but perpendicular. It was directly going the opposite way, and I ran right into it. Had I not done that, I would have had a head-on. Okay, so the two thoughts that I had that came to my head were, this is going to suck.
In other words, you had resigned yourself to the fact that you were about to be in an accident. You knew that it was unavoidable. It was going to be either accident A or accident B, and you knew, all right, there's nothing I can do about it. It's going to suck.
That was thought one.
Okay.
Thought two, and I'm not sure why because I've never really had this thought before, was in case I die, what song am I listening to right now? Because I don't want it to be something embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like,
why? Because
I don't want like Owl City and Carly Rae Jepsen or something to be on my iPod when I get in an accident and die. Because then people will go back and they'll look at what song I was listening to and they'll go, wow, what a
poofta. Like, why would they ever think that they would go back to your iPod to see what song you were listening to?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. So you thought the paramedics were going to show up and they go, wow, this guy's in pretty bad shape. Yeah. We better help him. Ooh, Al City. No. No, I'm sorry. Just let him go.
I had a brief moment of joy in that it was the new No Doubt CD. And I thought, all right, I'm okay with that. That'll be the last song I was listening to. I'm okay
That's
with that.
That's so weird.
If people find out. I don't know. I can't imagine why that was the thought that came to my head.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You thought you were going to die. What flashed into your mind? The only thing that I remember about the incident that we've talked about on this show before when I turned down the wrong way in Norway and ended up on a railroad track and had a train coming toward me. I'm on the railroad track and there's a train coming toward me. And again, there was no way I could get around it. I just had to turn the car hard right and get as much off the track as I could. And I had seconds to think about it. And all I remember thinking is, I am a dumbass. That's all I kept thinking is, I am stupid. How did this happen? Why am I such an idiot? That would have been my last thought if that train had not missed me by about half an inch.
But that at least makes sense.
Right.
I'm a dumbass. I wasn't driving down train tracks.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who think, oh my God, what if my mom finds my porn or whatever?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, because look, when you go out, like you went out a couple of days ago to run errands, you don't have your affairs in order.
No.
You don't have everything locked up tight the way you want it to be if you have some advance notice of when you're going to die.
Right.
There's stuff that maybe your parents don't need to find out about you yet.
Ever. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Brenda. Good morning, Brenda.
Hey, guys.
You're on an airplane that you thought was going to go down?
Oh, yes. I went to watch Red Hot Chili Peppers on Tuesday, and the plane dropped a couple feet. The stewardess went forward, fell face forward.
Sweet.
Everybody screamed. And I thought about my weed candy being in my drawer. And I'm like, when my mom cleans out my room, she's going to find my candy, and she's going to know it's cannabis.
So she was going to be upset that you had weed candy in your room if your plane went down.
Yes. Yes.
That's a weird thought, too. I mean, you never want your parents to be disappointed by you, but you're dead. You know, in that scenario, that's really not the worst thing that could happen is her finding your weed candy. But what are you going to do?
It was. My mom's very close-minded.
Hide your weed candy better.
Yeah, see, now you know.
I locked it up when I got here.
Yep, before you get on a plane again, make sure that stuff is locked down. Thank you very much for the call, Brenda. 1-800-520-1067, your calls on the last thought you had before you thought you were going to die. Next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Does everyone here have an issue with their penis size?
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Right now, we're talking about the thought that you had that went through your brain. You couldn't control it. It just popped up, and it wasn't what you expected. You thought you were going to die, and you would expect the last thing you would think is, oh, man, I'm so lucky to have had this time on Earth, or, man, there's so much I'm going to miss, or, wow, this is my last second on Earth. I, you know, wish I could be with my wife or kids or whatever. But
wish I wasn't dying right now.
Wish I weren't going to die. Something crazy popped into your head, like it did with Kevin a couple of days ago when he was making particular note of what song was on the radio as he dies.
It's my iPod, man. They could check it.
Listen to this from the Crane Poet who contacted us through the Kevin and Bean Twitter account at Kevin and Bean. My last thought before my car crashed into a semi was, wow, this is it. I'm going to die and Beer Mug still has a job. What? So there you go.
No.
Let's talk to Jackie. She's on line 8 to get us going here again at 1-800-520-1067. Everyone hang on. We'll take as many calls in a shorter period of time as we can. Hi, Jackie. Welcome.
Hi.
What happened?
What happened? Oh, my God. Well, I used to work. It was like a credit union type of place, and we had what looked like as a holdup.
Right.
We had a couple of threats, and being a receptionist, I thought, hey, I'm going to be the first one to go.
And what was your last thought?
Well, I had wore a really, really padded bra that day, and I'm like, oh, my God, people are going to know that I'm not completely real.
They were going to discover that you were padding?
That I was padding.
Wow.
But I had reasons to wear that. I have dropped a lot of weight, and I had a hard time letting go of my
of your boobs, right, yeah. Exactly. I love that you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to be dead. But more importantly, when they take my corpse out of this bank, they're going to find out I stuffed my bra. That's awesome. Thank you, Jackie. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. This is crazy. Let's go to Monica. Monica, line 6. You were in what service, Monica?
I was in the Army, and I was stationed in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Dude, well, first of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, what happened? Because I imagine you think you're going to die almost every day over there, right?
You're absolutely right, Bean, because you're just thinking you're not going to die any day. You'll go just outside or even inside. So during the nighttime, the alarms will go off, and we'll say we're being attacked, and you never know, you know, who it's going to hit.
Right.
And I was wondering, did I send out all my thank you cards?
Thank you cards just for what? For gifts people had sent you?
Thank you cards for gifts that people had been sending, you know, me and my battalion, because I was a chaplain assistant, so you kind of have to represent the whole battalion and
right.
everything. And I just didn't want to look bad.
Yeah, wow. I think you would have gotten a pass if somebody didn't get a thank you card from you because you were dead, though, Monica.
I know, but I've always, since I was a child, made sure that I didn't want to look bad in front of people. I always wanted to be, you know.
That's funny.
That is awesome. That's your, I mean, unconsciously, that's your type A personality bleeding through, right? That's funny.
My OCD, absolutely. I get all my thank you cards, happy birthday cards, even to the family, you know, everything.
And you're home now and you're healthy?
I'm here back, and I'm back in L.A. and
fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Let's go to Juliana. She's on line five. By the way, a lot of ladies, interestingly, calling on this topic. But I think Juliana has one that probably has occurred to many of us in our final moments. Hi, Juliana. Welcome to the show.
Hey. I was sailing off the coast of Vancouver when I was 15, about 5 years ago. And our boat went down with a rope wrapped around my ankle. And I got pulled under the boat.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. As I was struggling to get the rope off, I think I actually managed to get it off because my last few conscious thoughts of the air I had left was, oh, my parents are going to check my browser history. Oh, no.
Really?
No,
you're
no,
pinned
no,
under
no.
a boat, and all you can think is your parents can't see the website you've gone to.
Pretty much.
But, Juliana, did you say you were what, like a 16-year-old girl, though?
I was 15, yeah.
Okay, what bad sites is a 15-year-old girl going to? No, seriously.
Seriously?
Just in case one of my parents was listening to the radio, I'm not going to answer that.
Right, sure.
Okay, I can't imagine they're as bad as the sites the 15-year-old boy is going to, but I guess it's all relative.
You're probably right there, but it's all relative when you're trapped under a boat.
That's fine.
All right, thank you very much. Do we have time for one more? No, do we got to go? Okay, let's take, let's take Richard. Richard's on line one. Let's get one dude on this topic. Last thoughts before you thought you were going to die. Richard, what happened?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? We were on the freeway, me and my fiance, and we were speeding kind of fast, and our back tires blew out.
Okay.
We spun completely around, and we were facing oncoming traffic on the slow lane now.
And then the thought that came to your mind was?
Did I have clean underwear, and did I put my clothes in the dryer?
Did you put your clothes in the dryer?
Yes, I was washing at home.
God forbid they stay wet.
Yeah, that was horrible. They smell bad.
The mind is a weird thing. They don't smell bad to a dead person, though.
Nope, you don't have to worry about that. Not your problem anymore. You're fine.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Smells like butt hair. K-Rock.
Dr. Drew is on the phone. Of course, the co-host of Loveline, which airs five nights a week here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew's Rehab, which airs on VH1 Sunday nights at 8. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Good morning. So good to have you guys back together. And Bean, thanks for the support on Rehab. I know it's been a really intense season, and I know you've been watching, so I appreciate that.
How dare you suggest that I haven't been?
I'm just guessing.
Dr. Drew, I know we got something else we want to talk about, but I just want to say I have so much sympathy for not only the great work that you do, but the terrific crew that you have over there in the Rehab Center, because you've got a full complement. Every bed is filled all at the same time with people who are all detoxing their first night away from drugs and alcohol in years, and everybody is so sick. And how do you not know when somebody, I mean, you end up having to call 911, someone thinks they're having a heart attack, but I imagine that happens 100 times throughout the course of treatment, right?
You know, when they all came in, it was actually exciting for Sasha, Bob, Shelley, and I, because we really are at our best helping the people with the most severe, most complex addiction. And I kept saying, I'm like, man, we can really help these guys. And we have, and most of them are still in sober living. That was what you're watching was actually 6 months ago, and we're still, I'm going to meet with four of them today, in fact. We see them on a regular basis. Bob sees them all the time, and they're really, we've gotten very attached to this group, and they're doing very well.
I would imagine that would feel good. The more problems they have, the more help you can give them.
Well, it's especially when you, but we used to run a unit in a psychiatric hospital, so we got the most complicated psychiatric, medical, you know, familial, whatever was going on that was complex, we got it. And so we got very, very good at that, treating the very sickest patients, and that's when we're at our best. You're right, because there's a long way to go to improvement when people are really on their butts.
Is that why you're so good with Psycho Mike on Loveline?
Well done, Kevin. Well played, sir.
Well, I'm trying to talk Kevin into watching it, all of our listeners, if for no other reason, because Erica, the 22-year-old model who's a cocaine addict, is insanely hot, and it's worth tuning in, frankly, just to see her, if you don't mind me saying so, Dr. Drew.
I'm going to see Erica this afternoon, and I will mention that to her on your
Yes, panel. Please give her my best.
I got to tell you, Dr. Drew, just in my own defense, I have recorded it, and I am recording it. I just haven't. I will catch up. I love that show.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to a fascinating interview that you had the other night on yet another of your jobs, and that's the CNN Headline News show, where you had on the bullying victim that got all the press recently down in La Puente. Tell folks who don't know that story, Dr. Drew, about that horrific incident that happened down there.
These were kids on the soccer team, and as best I can put it together, there was a coach that sort of winked at the senior kids as they sort of brought up the junior kids into the varsity team. They would take them into some back row and basically beat the crap out of them. But part of the ritual was to take a javelin or a pule cue or something and violate them, their tush.
I first saw the headline for this story, and I was like, oh, come on, hazing. How bad can it be? And then I saw that detail, and I went, wow, pretty bad.
It was bad. And these poor kids, we had a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old on, and they were crying. Mostly they were so fearful. They wanted to speak up because they were fearful that their younger brothers and other kids would have to go through what they went through. They were humiliated. They had to change schools. They were traumatized. It was, even when I think about it, it was just one of the most awful experiences I've had to talk to these poor kids. They were lovely boys who had been severely abused. And the question here is, what motivated the senior kids to do this?
That's
way out of the ordinary.
That's what I don't get. Hazing has been around for hundreds of years, probably. Why? What's the psychology of, I have a tiny amount of power and I'm going to use it to abuse somebody that's, in this case, on my team that I'm supposed to be friends with?
Well, you know, sort of hazing and beating the crap out of and, you know, ritualistically bringing the boy to manhood. You know, this has been with humans throughout history. But this peculiarly sexually inappropriate component is what's so troubling and what people shake their head and try to understand. And here's, we had psychologists on, and I agree with what they were saying. Here's how you understand it. Really one of two things. Either one of the boys, an older boy, sometimes, it's been going on for like 10 years or 7 years, one of the older boys was sexually abused by an adult and now was acting out on his peers, and somehow it became ritualized into the whole thing as kids were traumatized and then re-traumatizing themselves.
Wow.
Or, and I'm not saying this is the case, but this is the, because I don't know anything about this teacher that was implicated in this whole thing, but you wonder whether there was an adult there grooming this whole procedure all along, in which case things are going to get bad.
It's a lot worse.
Well, the details of this case as it has been unfolding suggest that although they can't directly pin it on the teacher, many are suggesting that he had to know about it or that he was turning a blind eye on purpose. It happened right next door to his office. He got up and walked out.
You could argue, though, that he wink-wink going to beat the crap out of these guys, you know, that he didn't know the extent to which the impropriety.
Right.
So, you know, you could argue that, but who knows? I mean, I don't want to, you know, the guy has gets to have his day in court, but there's somewhere there's an adult that sexually abused a child that triggered this whole thing.
And it just reminds me, I mean, how can it not remind us of the Joe Paterno thing, which is so often it happens where you have the hierarchy, the establishment, which knows about it but just chooses not to because they feel like it's harmless. I mean, that's the circle that has to be broken.
Not only that, being in the Hispanic community, teachers and coaches have a particular esteem and status where they're sort of revered, they're not questioned, they're ultimate authorities, they're really extreme trust is put upon, and as well they should, frankly. I mean, I think it's a good thing. But that trust, when it gets violated, is particularly shattering.
Let me ask you one more question about this. The guy, the 15-year-old boy who was identified just as Billy on your show, this horrible thing that happened to him that, you know, he's thinking he's joining a sports team and this is what ends up being, you know, essentially raped. What's that do to him for the rest of his life? Does that cause him trouble for as long as he's on this earth, Drew?
Hard to predict. If he has other traumas prior to this, oh boy, this kid will have real troubles. If he's a very resilient, you know, healthy kid, yeah, he can get through this. It will certainly affect him. As you saw in the interview in the show, he breaks down really easily, and he's very ashamed. And so this, you know, the other kid actually was one that was more disturbed and was changing schools and just having real trouble functioning in the world because of the profound shame. And remember, again, I don't want to isolate a particular community, but Hispanic communities are known for their machismo, and this violates that particularly. I mean, this really
to the extreme.
The other kids were going after that. They were abusing him for being sort of an active participant in these kinds of activities. And this kid was just shattered by it. It's just really, you guys, it was awful.
Well, it was awful, but I'm glad that you were on to try to help as much as I can, as you can. And I know that you have a great support staff there at the HLN show that does follow-up, too. So that's good to know. Yeah. Loveline airs five nights a week here on KROQ.
What's that?
I assure people that the attorney has got those kids into psychological services right away. He's all over it. So excellent. There you go.
That's great news. Dr. Drew's HLN show airs weeknights at 9. And don't, whatever you do, don't be missing Rehab on VH1 Sunday nights at 8. You can catch that in repeats throughout the week, and you can always watch it on VH1.com as well. Doctor, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's like being around a black hole that just sucks the life out of everything.
KROQ.
Ralph, what does this remind you of?
Reminds me of one of the greatest shows on television. It's so bittersweet. It's the return of Fringe tomorrow night. But it is the final season. We have to say goodbye to our favorite people.
I have to say goodbye to Olivia?
Yes.
And Walter. Walter and it?
Peter.
Come on now.
Well, Walter and it's already over. Come on, Kevin. Wake up. The bridge is closed.
9 o'clock tomorrow night on Fox. The final season of Fringe premieres season 5. Kevin and I were lucky enough to hang out with Anna Torv a little bit down at Comic-Con over the summer.
You?
And she is back on the phone with us now. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Now I know what you look like.
Yeah, sorry.
And yet you still came on, and that is to your credit as a woman. I got to be honest.
Anna, are you as sad to say goodbye to Olivia and Walter and Peter as we as viewers are?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. But I keep saying that. I'm sort of, we're not saying goodbye yet. We're only just halfway through shooting the final season, so I'm sort of still in the middle of it.
So you haven't said
so
goodbye.
You're living in denial. No. Is that what you're saying?
You're just going to live in denial
I'm
until
I'm living in denial. I tell you, I was super sad when we say goodbye to the alternate universe. I had a little tear that night.
Yeah, the bridge is closed now, so we say goodbye to all the alternates, but now we have to take on the observers. This is the next arc, I guess. We thought they were the good guys. We thought they were on our side, and now it turns out...
So did I.
Now they're running our planet.
Those bald bastards.
That's right. Yeah, I know. This season sort of like pretty much takes place. It takes place in the future, and the future is a world ruled by observers. So that's sort of that's the team's challenge.
I may not fully understand this this series as I'm a bit retarded, but here's the thing that I love about Fringe. When you watch a show like say Lost, it was all what happened, and the answer never comes. You never
it's all mythology.
You never know what happened. Even in the finale, you're left to guess. Fringe crossed that bridge. Second season. I mean, they crossed over, and now they're
living. They gave us all the answers early on.
Yeah, and then they kept going with the series, which seems so much harder to do.
I think they've always been so good at that, in that they don't usually throw things out there, you know, and not sort of tie, you know, it up. But every time we sort of find an answer to one thing, there's always, you know, another couple of questions, which has sort of kept us going, I think. Yeah.
Now, we take a look at the future of the Fringe universe in this season, and you guys apparently have all been trapped in the legendary Amber, and you're brought back to help the Resistance take on the Observers, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and this season's going to be a full arc, and then I'm assuming we'll have some sort of resolution at the end to the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, I don't think so. I know so.
You're trying to play it coy.
Well, that's so silly. It's like, you know, we don't know where Olivia is, you know, in the first, and I can't, you know, they will find me, I promise.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I think that we've got a really awesome ending, I think, to the show, and I think it'll do the show justice, too, and that's what's sort of been great about knowing that this is actually the end, too.
That's got to be a tough thing to look at, is to look at a series like Fringe and say, okay, we have... A finale.
How do we wrap it up?
How do we wrap all of this up?
I'm glad that that's not my job.
Hey, I have to jump in because this would be the question that I would be most interested in. Nothing bad happens to Gene the cow, right? The cow's going to be fine, right?
Gene the cow.
Dolly cares.
I no comment.
Oh, no, I don't like the sound of that. That makes it sound like there's going to be hamburgers in the last episode.
Gene's going down.
There won't be hamburgers, but that's all I'm
saying. Okay. If it doesn't end in a barbecue, I mean, I'm getting worried.
Olivia will have a nice new leather jacket she'll be wearing this season.
Some really cool boots.
That's right. Ralph and I will be laughing and Dean will be crying.
Yeah.
And Olivia also gets to interact with her grown-up daughter in this season, which always... struck me as so weird. I remember in the season where the episode where Peter ran into her. Like, how wild to play opposite your adult child now at this stage in your character.
I know, and it's been tricky because you sort of, I really didn't know where to start with that. She was fantastic, though. The actress who plays Etta, Georgina, was pretty great. She had I think that's like an interesting relationship too, because how do you deal with your parents when you're kind of meeting them essentially at the same age you are?
Right.
There's got to be, and it probably was several seasons ago, there has to be a point where you read the script and you go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. And you walk into the writers and you go, really?
Yeah, but, this is our fifth season. Yeah. So.
That's what I'm saying. It probably happened early. But
you're like, yeah, that happens really early. And then we just let go of that.
Now you're just nodding your head and just showing up, hitting your mark.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this makes good sense. I'm in.
We
are talking to actress Anna Torv here on The Kevin and Bean Show about Fringe, final season, premiering tomorrow night on Fox. Hey, how many episodes are we going to see?
13.
It is 13? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's 13 for this season, and we're just about to finish episode 6, so we are really just sort of bang in the middle.
Is it too late to make it 22?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I suppose you can't tell us, but how many members of the old team survive into the future this season? Do we? I know we get to see yourself and Walter and Peter. Astrid, is she on board still? You can't tell us, can you?
Well, yeah, I can't see.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a hard question.
Just push one if yes, push two if no.
I'm so boring to interview because I'm just,
I can't say.
No, can't say, sorry.
What happens tomorrow night? Can you give us any tip about that?
Well, episode 419 of last season was sort of the introduction to the world that we're going to find ourselves in tomorrow night. So it's sort of, it's a massive change. Like, we've really, the show's been shaken up. So we're in a brand new world. We don't have all the team together. We don't know who we're going to find. Right. And it's sort of like really setting it all up for, what the rest of the show is going to be.
Yeah, as I was watching the trailer for this upcoming season, I was looking and saying, it is sort of like a brand new show. It's a brand new... it's a new world. It's a new timeline. It's a new set of villains that you're taking on. It's like rebooting the program, the whole show.
I know, but they do tend to do that at the beginning of every season, I think. Anyway, there's always like a... it is always just a massive reboot. That's exactly right. And it's great because then, you do something for... You do something for long enough, and then that's like a really great injection of energy and sort of new faces, and
it keeps it fresh, right?
Do you have a lawyer next to you telling you what not to say? Is that what's happening there? Don't say that.
Say?
Don't answer that.
Yeah. They have her hooked up to electric shocks if she says the wrong thing.
Stop pinching.
Well, Anna, we're such huge fans of the show. We have been since the beginning, and as excited as we are about this season, it is kind of sad for us to see some of the best acting and writing on television go away when this is all said and done.
Yes, so sweet. Thank you so much for all your support over the years, too.
It's been a great show. It's been our pleasure.
And if John Noble doesn't win a damn Emmy...
I know.
We're going to burn this place to the ground.
It's going to be hell to pay.
We've let that go. John is just so loved, and we,
he's going to have to accept that. I got you.
The return of the final season, it's going to be tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on Fox. Follow Fringe on Fox. That's their name on Twitter, and fox.com/Fringe. Anna, you're always very kind with your time. We very much appreciate talking to you again.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, wow. They are terrible.
Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yes, they're quite awful.
The world famous K-Rock.
Is it time for another Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman right now?
That is correct.
Where
you got a problem with that?
Not at all. Looking forward to it. This is the one that you're going to sing the entirety of all 8 minutes of Paradise by the Bachelorette. Right. I can't wait. Are you kidding me?
I remember every little thing. Is it what happened only yesterday?
Nope.
We were parking by the lake. There was not another car inside. And I never met a girl looking any better than you did.
Stop it.
And all the kids at school, they were wishing they were me that night.
So only 7.5 minutes left, Kevin. Enjoy it.
And our bodies were held so warm and tight.
Not interested.
It never felt so good, it never felt so right.
That's bullshit.
And I was glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. Glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
It's a great song.
You enjoy that on your ride home.
Speaking of great music, how about the return of No Doubt, everybody? No Doubt. Great new album, Push and Shove. Gibson Amphitheater. It's going to be their home for about a half a dozen shows. All week long, we've been giving away tickets at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. You're calling in to win tickets in the first five rows this week. Today is row two day, second row. How about that? So listen the rest of the day and win your tickets. Oh, wait a minute. Or you could win them right now thanks to me, your radio pal, Ralph.
Did you buy these yourself out of your pocket?
Yes, these are my personal tickets.
I don't think they are.
That I am giving away.
I think they're the stations.
These are my tickets.
Right.
In the second row. You can win them from me if you can answer my No Doubt trivia question. They got a good one today, thanks to Chip. She came up with this one. I like it a lot. Gwen Stefani, of course, took some time off from No Doubt to release two solo albums.
True.
That is true.
Well.
But the rest of the band just didn't sit around twiddling their thumbs. Just didn't sit around pining for the return of Gwen. No, no. They were very active themselves. In fact, guitarist Tom Dumont released his own music project during this time. What was the name of his side project? What was the name of Tom's side project? While Gwen was off making her own music, he was making his as well. What was the name of his side project? If you know the answer, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer, boom, pair of tickets in the second row.
I remember when that came out.
Oh, good, good.
You heard it and commented, and you said,
how can you love it? It's crap.
I did not say that.
Oh. I was a big fan of this particular musical act. What was the name of Tom's side project? Let's get to some showbiz news. ABC is preparing yet another singing competition show.
Yeah! Can't get enough.
To compete with X Factor and America's Got Talent and The Voice and Do You Think You Can Sing and Sing-a-ring-a-doo-dah and...
They're cheap enough. Give them a singing bee.
Singing bee.
And good ratings.
Do you know the lyrics?
I have no interest in any of these.
Yeah. This one, though, has a spin, has a hook, has
I'll
a
bet
twist.
It does. Do they play musical chairs while they sing?
No, that would be awesome. This is called The Troupe. T-R-O-U-P-E, as in troupe of performers. But what other kind of troops are there? Wait a minute, let me think. Troops. What do I think of when I think of the word troops?
Boy Scouts?
Yes, it's all Boy Scouts competing while they sing, Kevin.
I don't know.
No, it's our troops, the American troops. Military members, past and present, are the only people who can compete in this singing competition known as the troop.
But half of the fun of these shows is telling people they suck and they need to go away.
How are you going to tell a Marine he sucks when he gets up there to sing?
You don't want to do that.
He can kill you with his thumbs.
Well, not only that,
they served their country. Now can they serve up some sweet-ass music? That's going to be the commercial for the troop.
Come on.
Sailors, Marines, Air Force. It's crap. Coast Guardsmen. Anyone in the military is eligible to compete in the troop coming from ABC.
No point in that at all.
They should have a judging panel composed strictly of drill sergeants. You call that singing? No, just got to get off my stage. just like all Lee Ermey's just going at people.
They're the only...
You embarrass me. Best part of you.
They're the only people who could talk to him that way.
I guess they could, yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? All former drill sergeants.
Sure.
Yeah. The troop. It's making its way to your television set next year, so. Are you ready?
No, I'm busy.
While we're talking about ABC, Modern Family has returned. I have TiVo'd. I haven't seen the first episode yet. But it's apparently where Sofia Vergara announces to everyone that she is with child. Remember at the end of last season, she got pregnant from Jay. That old dude can still get it up. She was on Katie Couric yesterday talking about the fact that when she first moved to Hollywood, her publicist told her she needed to get a breast reduction if she wanted to work in Hollywood.
F you, publicist.
Who's thinking that way? What person in show business says, you know what really sells? Smaller breasts. That's what the men love. That'll increase your sex appeal, your ability to play vixens on TV and
maybe
in films.
Maybe the agent figured that she was going into modeling, which does, for the most part, you have to be skinny and bones.
No, this was for gigs.
Huh.
Roles.
That's
acting.
Just wrong.
Acting and hosting.
It's wrong and that's bad.
Turns out Sophia is rocking 32 Fs.
Yeah, that's hot.
And the PR person said she would work more if her breasts were reduced. Apparently it was her mother who talked her out of it. Thank you, Mrs. Vergara, wherever you are.
Oh, come on.
And
not even trying.
She said she didn't want to mess with what God gave her. I thank God for what he has given me, and I take advantage of it, she said.
God, is she hot. Look at that rack.
Did you see her wardrobe malfunction at the Emmys, by the way?
That she tweeted? Yes,
yeah,
I
she
did.
She tweeted?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't her bosoms that bursted out of her dress.
It was butt cleavage.
It was her buttocks. Just split that zipper wide open, just begging to get out. Just begging for some... Begging just for some attention.
Just needed some air.
That's right.
How does Kevin, who hates old people, how does he reconcile
She's
the fact
hot.
That Sofia Vergara is 40, by the way?
I don't know.
Because he has to hate all women who are 40.
But well, I have a 40-year-old category. I just don't have a 60-year-old category.
See,
70-year-old,
she's younger than Kevin, so she's still eligible. It's anyone who's a year, anyone who's 6 minutes older than Kevin is immediately out of the equation, so... Do we need to watch Beer Mug?
No.
Search Sofia Vergara's butt cleavage.
He misspells it every time.
He misspells everything all the time.
He's the worst Googler ever. He just is.
Here's the problem.
But
mostly,
it's so distracting when he's bad and there are pictures of other stuff that's not related to what we're talking about. It's flying on the screen in front of me.
I get it. I finally get it.
Yeah, usually get around noon is when you come up with. During Cat's show is when you usually pull up a good picture.
How dare you.
J-Wow's getting married. Apparently, her boyfriend, Roger Matthews, remember him from Jersey Shore, he proposed to her while they were skydiving. He held up a handwritten sign while they were plummeting to the Earth's surface saying, "Will you marry me?"
Were they jumping?
On the back of the sign says, "Say no and I will cut your chute."
Were they jumping in tandem?
No, they weren't. They were separate. Apparently, she freaked out and screamed the entire time all the way down to Earth. When they got down to the ground, he gave her a 5-carat ring.
And everything from here on out is downhill.
Yeah. Look, J-Well, if you had to marry one person from Jersey Shore, J-Well would be it. Right?
But do you have to?
Except maybe Vinny. Vinny I would also marry. Right. But J-Well. So congratulations to those two. Kate Gosselin, turns out, might not be the ideal mother.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's true. Kate of Kate Plus 8 fame. She's getting some heat because there was a reporter named Robert Hoffman who told Star Magazine that he had access to her secret journals. No word on how he got them. But he said in those writings, she admits to yanking her children's hair when they misbehaved.
Oh, no.
Doling out punishments to the kids that they didn't get potty trained soon enough, and even spanked some of them with a wooden spoon. Well, she should be taken out and shot as we speak. Not for this, for that TV show.
For the TV show?
This doesn't help her case at all. So that's how you manage 8 kids, really? Corporal punishment? I don't like it. Not a bit.
Maybe a little help. She could use some help.
And we were talking a little bit earlier about reality television. CW Network has announced 2 shows will be returning to that network. Breaking Point, the network's ballet documentary series. And Oh Sit, its musical chairs competition show. Oh Sit,
yeah.
where the people have to conquer a series of obstacles in order to get to the center where the chairs are.
It's an obstacle course in a circle.
Yeah, and they got to run around the circle until the music starts playing. Then they have to cross the bridge of death,
right,
to get to a chair to get in there and sit down before the other contestants do.
And you can push people in the circle, but not on the bridge of death.
That's right. And you can't push them from behind, but you can get in front of them.
Right. You can slow them down.
That's right.
But then you sit in the chair, and one of them might still kick you out.
Yes. And then some of the chairs have dollar amounts connected to the chair.
But you don't know.
And that judges how much money you get after you have splashed through the swamp of destiny.
We tried for 10 minutes to understand that show. It isn't possible.
It's not too complex for the rest of America, however, because ratings are good enough for to bring it back for a second season. It's Jamie Kennedy's finest work, I might add. So.
Aren't you surprised that more script writers don't kill themselves, Ralph?
Yes, I absolutely do. No, I'm surprised more of them don't go postal, who don't just start flinging grenades over the walls of the studios, because it's madness. We live in the best of times and the worst of times when it comes to television. The one you got Honey Boo Boo on one side, and then you got The Walking Dead on the other side. You got Mad Men on one side, you got Oh Sit on the other side.
Yep.
It's maddening, I say. Any answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Isaiah on line 5 may know the answer. Isaiah?
Hey, Ralph.
Hello, sir. How you doing? What was the name of Tom Dumont's side project that he worked on while Gwen was doing her solo albums?
That will be Invincible Overlord.
Invincible Overlord. It's an awesome name for a band.
I didn't hear it. What kind of music was it, Ralph?
Oh. Very good.
It's a different direction for him, but
yeah. Totally different.
It sounds a little like Gwen.
Congratulations, Isaiah. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to sit in the second row for a No Doubt show at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. Today's celebrity birthdays. Avril Lavigne is 28 years old. Lil Wayne celebrates his 30th birthday. Gwyneth Paltrow is 40. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 48. Sean Cassidy, actor, writer, singer, director, producer. The guy's got a lot going on. He's 54 years old. But as we mentioned at the beginning of the Showbiz Beat, it is the day we all take pause and thank our lucky stars that on this day, 65 years ago, was born the legend, the icon, the singer, the actor, Meatloaf!
And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
What won't he do, by the way? Do we know?
No, I won't do that.
He won't say.
Anything for love, anything you've been thinking
I'm
of.
I'm certain it involved the butt.
Yeah, that's just some good
stuff right there.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Did you ever hear the Meatloaf impersonator who does Rebecca Black's Friday? Have you ever heard that version?
No.
You owe yourself. Go on YouTube and type in Meatloaf Friday. And it's just, it's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
It's very, very funny. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we've got Movie Beat because it is Friday. Ralph's finally going to tell us about Looper.
Oh, it's so damn good.
Which he saw and will tell us nothing about.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Oh, wait, it's damn good. Amy Purdy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, we told you. Okay. We told you we were going to have her on today. We lied.
Yeah, she had her phone amputated.
She has both legs are amputated, and she's going to be
her phone pickup hand.
She's going to be on the Amazing Race.
I don't like her,
so we're going to talk to her tomorrow. We have Cousin Sal with his NFL picks. We have Phil Kogan talking about the Amazing Race.
That's right, brother.
No, Phil. Oh. Phil, he's the host of the Amazing Race, and we have, as Ralph would say, Jogolev, Joseph Gordon-Levitt talking about
brilliance in Looper. Can't wait to talk about that.
Can't wait. And our tickets for our breakfast with the Black Keys.
And we would do anything for love.
On an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
But we won't do that.
Hey, who are we listening to?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.